This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And he is the man. And it's not news until Tom Withers says so, whether he was writing for the Associated Press or he's still writing for the Associated Press. He is the guy we go to when we want to make sure it's 100% confirmed. And he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline right now. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Thomas.
Hey, how are you guys? Why do I feel like there's a snowstorm right around the corner here?
Because it's 70 today? What is it right
now? I know. It's crazy. I always warn people here, as you know. Everybody gets excited this time of year. We get that little, you know, early spring tease, whatever you want to call it. I feel like it's May 1st before we're really out of the woods, right? And we've even had snow. We've had snow after May 1st. But all that said, yeah, it's a great time of the year.
Yeah, I was looking at Jeremy Piven's in town. He's doing the Agora, and he's been jumping around. And I was looking at him on Instagram yesterday, and, like, he could not have had a better Chamber of Commerce day. You know, we've got this really well-known actor, comedian who's in town, and he's taking pictures around the Cleveland sign, and he's like, the weather's great. And I'm like, oh, man, finally it worked out. It worked out okay.
Well, I thought Jameis Winston, right? He hit it on the head when he said, the 90 best days of that you could ever imagine we have here in Cleveland. And isn't that the truth, right?
That is true.
Yeah, we'll take what we can get. Now, I'll take this, man, 67 or whatever it is now on March 20th. Let's go.
Tom, the Cavaliers have lost two straight games.
Panic in Detroit, in Cleveland.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Or at the disco.
I'll tell you what, though, Jeff, to me there are some concerning signs, though.
Yes.
And listen,
yes.
taking nothing away from what has been an extraordinary regular season, I don't think people could be any happier about the way this team has developed under Kenny Atkinson, the way Donovan Mitchell has empowered his teammates, Evan Mobley's development, Darius Garland looking like a different guy, the depth of the bench, et cetera, et cetera. A couple things have me a little bit worried, though, and that is that they've not played in a lot of close games, and that's a credit to them. Don't get me wrong. It's great when you can blow a team out, but I'll go back to Sunday. I covered the game against the Magic, and as soon as the Magic wanted to get physical in the third quarter, the Cavs kind of buckled. They had three turnovers in 27 seconds at the end of the quarter. A 10-point lead was erased in a nanosecond. Mm. And I thought the way the Magic kind of picked up full court, I thought they were, you know, they're a very handsy team, if you will, to begin with. You know, Wagner gets under your skins. Banchero, you know, talks and backs it up. And I just didn't think that the Cavs responded to that. After the game, unfortunately, Donovan Mitchell was, you know, the post-game locker room situation was just lasting too long. But I wanted to ask him about the fine line between matching a team's physicality and then not taking your own team out of its own identity. And I feel like the Cavs kind of get caught in that trap. And then if you saw last night's game, and I stayed up until, you know, 1:35 or whatever it was watching, the Clippers were just a more physical, more aggressive team. And again, taking nothing away from the way the Cavs have played this year, it's been great. But I think there are some things they need to work on. I think it's probably good for Kenny Atkinson and his staff that he'll be able to get these guys' attention with a couple losses. So I would expect an attitude adjustment tonight in Sacramento. You know, this road trip is probably coming at a good time for them just to kind of sharpen things up as they head into the playoffs, and away we go.
All right, so if you could map out the end of the season as far as playing starters, not playing starters, getting the bench valuable time to be ready for the playoffs as well, too, how would you map it out?
Yeah, I would probably stick with what they've done to this point, Andy. I mean, I think they've done a really nice job. When you look at, you know, the top teams in the East, and you look at their average minutes, right? I think the Cavs have three guys right around 30 minutes, and that's great. You know, other teams have had to deal with probably more injuries than the Cavs have, and so that affects that variable. But I would continue to do what they've been doing, which is trusting in his bench, giving guys rest when they need it. You know, I think it was smart for them when Donovan wasn't at 100%. They sat him for a couple games. Same with Evan. Boy, those are the kind of things you have to watch. Those are the kind of things that have really sidetracked them in the last couple of years, right? Those late season injuries that we all worry about. And, you know, all you had to do was watch Cooper Flagg in that situation last week and see how, you know, one twisted ankle at this time in the season can, you know, that just underscores the fragility of a season. So I think it's about getting guys rest when they need it, you know, fine-tuning some things, especially on the defensive end, which I know Atkinson talked about post-game last night, and, you know, try to finish healthy heading into April.
Tom, I want to talk a little baseball with you. I'm going to give you two thoughts here. Part of me is extremely optimistic and so excited about the start of the Guardian season. And I think that part is based on the fact that this front office always figures out a way to make their team compete. And then I actually look at the roster, and I look at holes in the rotation. I look at a bullpen that you're hoping repeats what it did. I'm looking at a right side of the infield that doesn't look anything like it did last year. I'm looking at right field and seeing the same old stuff, and I keep thinking, oh, my God, how is this team going to compete?
Yeah.
Which is,
and they won 92 games last year, and they got to the ALCS, right? Yeah, I know. It's remarkable, isn't it, Jeff? I think you just got to – you got to, you know, take a deep breath and remind yourself that, you know, it's a long grind, right? It's you know, the marathon, not a sprint kind of cliches come into play. But I think that's what you're dealing with. I think from my standpoint, if you're going to look at it from an optimistic point of view, though, Jeff, I would look at what Gavin Williams has done this spring. And when you think about a year ago, how, you know, he tweaks his elbow throwing the weighted ball and it completely threw off his entire season, right? And then, you know, then the snowball effect after Bieber gets hurt, and we all worried, could this team even put out a couple of competent starters to be able to be competitive in the AL Central, and they exceeded all those expectations, what have you. So I would look at those kinds of things. I would look at the fact that they've seemed to have, you know, rebuilt this bullpen to some degree. They've got some new, young, exciting arms. I know the right side of the infield looks drastically different, but you know, I would be comforted in that you have a guy like Carlos Santana over there who has a proven track record, who is, you know, the consummate teammate. So, you know, the second base situation will iron itself out. You know, from what I understand, Gabriel Arias has probably got, might be the clubhouse leader at this point. So there's still enough positives, but I feel you, Jeff. You always look at this team with a fine tooth comb and say, well, here's what they don't have, when we should probably be reminding ourselves that they do have one of the best players on the planet in Jose Ramirez, and they still got, you know, quality arms in both the bullpen and the starting rotation.
Hey, what do you think Stephen Vogt learned last year, and how does he take that into the second season where, I mean, he put the bar pretty high for himself last year?
I think what he learned, Andy, was to rely on what got him here, right? And that's his communication skills and his ability to get the most out of his players, his ability to, you know, trust his bench. I mean, you know, just like Kenny Atkinson is doing with the Cavs. I mean, Stephen Vogt is not afraid to go as deep on his roster as he needs to at any given time. And all that does is, you know, build good vibes and positivity, you know, from the best player on the team to the last guy on the bench. So I think he just has to rely on what's got him to this point, right? I mean, you know, why change anything if you know, you're going to step in and win 92 games in your first year as a manager? You've done something right. So I think he should just continue to lean on what's got him here. I think he probably learned even more about, much like Atkinson, resting guys when they need to rest, being able to tell Jose Ramirez that, hey, you got to sit down for a game or two. You know, we need you for the long run. So those kinds of things. But, you know, listen, he did a remarkable job last year and, you know, rightly rewarded with manager of the year. You could have made an argument for him or Hinch or the Kansas City manager. I'm blanking on his name for a second here, Matt Q. And, I think, as long as he doesn't get outside of, what he's about, I think Stephen Vogt will be fine. I think they've really, were lucky in landing a guy, as quality as he is.
Tom Withers joining us from the Associated Press and other fine media entities as well. Is that okay right now? I think that one works.
It's okay right now.
Yeah, I think that works right
now. Guys, yeah, semi-retirement has been some work for me.
Guys working harder in retirement.
It's just been hard. I'll be honest with you guys, and I know you can relate after being in the business for as long as we all have. Rewiring my brain has been a challenge, and so it's going to be good for me to kind of take a step back. And now that my AP replacement Joe Reedy has arrived in Cleveland, I'll be doing a little bit less and less for the AP, and I think that'll be good for me. I'll tell you what, you guys, for the first time in 25 years. I was able to go to the MAC tournament on the weekend as a fan, and it was enjoyable. It was nice not to have that deadline pressure. Not that that was ever a big deal, but it's different watching a game when you're not concerned about every single dribble and making sure that
What's the run? Yeah, they're on a 7-0 run. Are you sure 7 or not? Yeah,
that's exactly great. All those kinds of things. And I heard you guys talking to Bill Bender before. And by the way, one of the best guys in the business that a lot of people probably don't know about. Bill is terrific at his job and has been for a long time. But, hearing you guys just talk about college basketball and the spectacle and, I always felt like those days down at the Q and now Rocket Arena for the MAC tournament were always my favorite days. And it'll be no different this weekend with really good teams and great fan bases in town.
So tell me this, the fact that the move so far, and there's plenty of time to go, so far, has been to trade for Kenny Pickett. Does that scream the Browns are taking a quarterback at 2, or does it scream that Kirk Cousins is in their future, or neither?
That's a great question, Jeff. I don't know if scream. It's certainly it yells that way. I don't know what kind of volume you want to put on it, but it would seem to me that things are lining up for them. And I don't know this, and I've tried to talk to some people over in Berea, and they're being very tight-lipped in terms of how they feel about this quarterback class, whether or not they've fallen in love with either Cam Ward or Shadur. And I talked to you guys about this. I watched both of those guys enough during this past season to see upside, to see potential, to see that, hey, if they do feel like one of them can be the guy, then by all means take him. Now, I think what's interesting is, you also have in Travis Hunter and in Carter two, people talk about potentially generational type talents at that spot. And then they talk about, what this 2026 quarterback class could look like. So, maybe they do, plug holes at that position. Personally, I would hope that they don't do that. I would hope that they have fallen in love with one of those two quarterbacks and take them at number two. So I don't know, Jeff, it's pointing toward something that we didn't entirely see, maybe a few weeks ago. We thought this would go maybe in a different way, and that, maybe by now they'd either traded for Cousins or had signed Russell Wilson or name what other free agent quarterbacks you would. I didn't see, trading for Kenny Pickett on my bingo card. So a lot can still happen. It's, as you guys know, this is always that silly season where, like in the last week, right, Jalen Milroe has been attached to the Browns. Now, it seems like Joe Milton is the flavor of the day, right? So there's all kinds of stuff they're going to bounce around. But I think Browns fans just got to hope that they can finally get it right this time.
Okay, so I want you to go into conspiracy theory here. The Browns bring Journey in to play for the draft party. Does that have anything to do with what they're going to do at number two?
Man, that's a deep question now for me.
In other words, Tom, if they screw it up and then Journey plays Don't Stop Believing.
Don't Stop Believing. I knew you were going to go there.
Yeah.
Yeah. when the lights go, right? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there is a connection
there.
I keep hearing it.
It makes no sense to me at all that they would.
Andy, I'm going to have to spend an afternoon now trying to connect the dots on that one, right? I got to get the board out and go True Detective on this and see if we can figure out what that means exactly. Kind of cool, though, I think, to be honest with you, that they're bringing them in for the draft.
That's a nice too.
Bonus for Browns fans, right? Yeah, a little thanks for hanging with us for as long as we have, and we're going to try not to screw this up again.
Hey, congratulations. We have a first-round draft pick. That's what the party is, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's been a long time since that's happened, right?
Kind of miserable. It's only had a little effect on the franchise.
I'll say this, though. I'll be honest with you guys, and I know I didn't get a chance to talk to you about this. I thought the way the Browns, and I'll give them credit, I thought the fact that they dug in on Myles Garrett and got that done, and I'll be honest with you, I was one of the few people that from that go felt like this was nothing more than an attempt for him to get a long-term contract, and that's exactly what happened here. So I'm just, you know, it was a little disappointing to see him kind of flip-flop and, you know, I know he didn't intentionally, you know, drag the city and the franchise through the mud during the press tour down at the Super, you know, Radio Row or what have you during Super Bowl week, but it wasn't a good look for him. I think he still got some damage control to get back some fans that, he did them wrong, I would say, and he did the Browns wrong in so many ways. But listen, again, I'll give the Browns credit for digging in, holding that they weren't going to trade him, and now they've got him for a few more years.
Tom, the second pick in the draft, I mean, you have to get that right. And this seems so precarious because all the quarterbacks are not very highly rated. And it really has me wondering what approach they're going to take in this whole situation. And anytime I think something sounds good, something else pops in, and I think, well, that sounds good too. To me, trading down sounds like a great idea. If you aren't convinced that somebody there at number two is a franchise changer for you,
and I'll give you that though, Jeff. But by the same token, you've spent the better part of, you know, 2.5 decades looking for your franchise quarterback.
Exactly.
So you're going to kick that can down the road again. Now, to your point, if you feel like you can get a guy, or maybe you trade back up late into the first round because you were in love with Jackson Dart or Jalen Milroe or Will Howard or whoever that guy is, then potentially I could see that. And then at number two, you take, you know, the guy that you have rated, you know, top on your board that's not a quarterback, whether that's Hunter or Carter, whoever the case may be. So I could see it happening, Jeff, but you're right. I mean, you can't get number two wrong unless you get number two wrong.
It just scares me that, you know, we hear everything about these quarterbacks. Well, who knows? But if they just don't think one of them can really play, man, don't take a guy just because.
Then don't do it. No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Tom, we've talked about everything but seven divisions versus four divisions in high school basketball. We'll talk about that some other time. How's that sound?
Okay. That sounds great.
Thank you, Thomas.
Tom, as always, you know, we love talking to you, and we love reading what you write all the time, too. So thank you, Tom.
Love talking to you guys. Take care. See
you. Right. He is Tom Withers, Associated Press, soon to be a little bit more Associated Press.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Survivor 48 is here, and after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin, 216 474-0092. 216-474-0092. So,
yeah.
I watched a little bit of the Guardians game last night. And
well,
Jeff,
that's good of you.
I think in our race for second base, we may have pulled a question mark last night. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, really?
Yes.
Why don't we hit the fun thing first?
Okay.
Baskin and Phelps present The Race.
What is the fella's name on second base?
I don't know.
For second base.
Tom was just with us. Tom Withers. Tom said, looking like the leader in the clubhouse is Gabe Arias. I agree with that. But last night, Guardians played the Texas Rangers. You could watch it on the MLB Network, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost to the Texas Rangers 7-3.
Yeah, they did.
But somebody started at second base, went 2-for-4 with his fourth home run of the season, and he raised his batting average to a robust 176.
Oh, coming towards 200.
It's Mr. Juan Brito. Juan Brito,
yes,
up to 176. He has four home runs, Andy. He has four home runs. Is that anything?
I don't know.
He leads the Guardians in home runs in the spring. I mean, he's cooking. Juan Brito has it going.
As far as home runs are concerned?
Yeah, well, it's been warmer the last couple of days, too. Is that okay?
Can I give you some very not surprising breaking news?
Uh-oh, here we go.
Juan Brito.
92.3 The Fan. Breaking news.
Tanner Bibee, your opening day starter for the Guardians, hey, according to manager Stephen Vogt.
Way to interrupt the shtick.
I'm sorry. I thought our first job here was news.
You know, he could do King in his court, too. He could pitch and then throw and then run backwards to second base.
I think that's true.
That'd be fun.
That might be true.
Especially in the midst of a Guardians segment, that we have Guardians news. If anything, that should be considered wonderful timing.
Glad for Tanner Bibee. I think that's wonderful. I got nothing more. I'm glad for
that. Did anyone think that wasn't going to be the case?
I do have more at second base.
Why did it take them an extra day to release that when the rest of the league announced their opening day starters yesterday?
I don't know.
They're afraid to give away the playbook?
You know what? We'll get it fixed.
I just don't know. Were they concerned? Oh, no. Kansas City is going to find out what our opening day lineup is before. Uh-oh. They're not going to put their number one starter out there against us on opening day. Why did it take an extra day?
Freeman hit a home run yesterday. Tyler Freeman's still in the race for second base, isn't he?
Yeah, but he doesn't have as many home runs as Brito.
He was 1-for-2 yesterday. Batting average back up to .313. Play started in center field. And Hel Martinez went 0-for-4 to drop things to .139. So I'm still thinking it's Gabe Arias, except for one thing. Andy.
Oh, no. Here comes Jeff Phelps, except for one thing.
Well, you guys tell me this. We know he's out of options. We got to figure that they think we can give him one more chance here. And we can send Brito down to AAA. And if Brito is hot and Arias is not, we can make a decision on Gabe and we can bring Brito up. I mean, that I would assume that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
What if Brito finishes spring training on fire?
He has 7 games to make that happen.
What if he does?
When do you think they're going to announce the starting lineup? They have 7 games left. And
because Arias
the season starts
229.
The season starts a week from tomorrow, Jeff. A week from tomorrow, 7 games.
I mean, Andy, you've got to scroll down on the full page of stats to find Gabe Arias at 229.
Wait, 229 is still better than one? What'd you say, 170-something?
Yeah. But if Brito gets hot.
Well, so what does he have to do? Get hot for the next 3 days? And then what are you going to do with Arias?
7 games.
What are you going to do with Arias then?
Trade him.
Utility?
Maybe, but isn't that Tyler Freeman's gig?
Yeah.
You don't need two guys like Tyler Freeman and Gabe Arias if one of them isn't starting somewhere.
I don't know. This team puts
because
so
because you're
going to
keep
much...
Schneeman, aren't you? Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe Schneeman goes down. I don't know.
Well, they put so much time and energy into their own players, right? So are they just and they always give them a benefit of the doubt before the season.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's right. I think I think anybody that's saying Arias is right.
I'd be really tempted to do this.
Including Tom Withers, who just said so.
Start Arias. See if there's anything there. Okay? He went down to AAA last year, swung the bat pretty well. He figured some things out. Did okay hitting-wise, you know, in winter ball. He gets the chance. If he doesn't take advantage of it, Brito's hot, you switch it out. And if you have to release Arias, you release Arias. It's only a matter of time until Travis Bezzano has that gig anyway.
Well, that's true, too.
And we would think that that happens at the worst-case scenario sometime next season. So somebody's going to have that gig, or a couple of somebodies are going to have that gig for a year and a half or so.
They didn't happen to release the rest of the rotation, did they? Just the one, just opening day starter, right? That was all the...
Correct. I'm just making sure. Yeah, Stephen Vogt just said, Tanner Bibee, did you like a little bit of news, or you want to hit what you got first?
He's got first. Go.
I got a baseball thought. Is that okay?
All right, get your baseball thought, go. And then I got some news that might make some people need to breathe into a paper bag for a little bit.
Okay.
All right. Real quickly. Jonkenzie Noel is tied with Kyle Manzardo for the most at-bats this spring. Does that mean anything?
No.
Does it mean anything, Dano? He's hitting .286.
Stability is availability.
Yeah.
He's only struck out about 40% of the time.
Probably needs the at-bats, therefore he's getting them.
.286. A lot of strikeouts, 17 Ks and 42 at-bats, but he is hitting .286.
Needs a hat for his bat.
All right, so. Dano, make us,
what do you got?
Make us sick.
All right, well, I don't know if you'll be sick, Jeff. You might get slightly pumped out of this. I think Andy and I might be a little sick on it. Barricade Cab at Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer on Cleveland.com right now.
What running back?
The Browns and Carson Wentz definitely have mutual interest season on him becoming their veteran bridge quarterback, a league source told Cleveland.com. It is apparently contingent upon them signing Russell Wilson, who visited last week.
Who's signing Russell Wilson? In other words, if the Browns don't sign Russell Wilson, Carson Wentz is the guy?
It is apparently contingent upon them signing Russell Wilson.
Okay.
I am taking
them, must
the,
be the
them
Browns.
To be
yep.
the Cleveland Browns.
Yep. I would be just fine.
I'm confused. Are you trying to say they're going to sign Russell Wilson and Carson
no,
Wentz?
No. Okay. If they don't sign Russell Wilson, they'll turn to Carson Wentz.
That's how I'm interpreting it.
Yep, me too. And Carson Wentz is on nobody's radar. And if you're Carson Wentz, what are you going to do? Let's just say Russell Wilson goes back to Pittsburgh or wherever.
All right, let's talk about this on the other side.
On the other side?
Yes.
What are we passing away?
Yeah, on the other side of the commercials.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes, Jeff Phelps. Sometimes.
Can't have nice things.
No, we can't.